This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We had a historic election, huge victories. We had a clean sweep in the House and Senate, actually gaining seats. With us now, not to gloat, but to give us just a summary, is the Speaker of the Kansas House, Dan Hawkins. You're not the Grinch, by the way. I think that's the little lady on the second floor. Dan, thank you for joining us tonight. Congrats.
Well, not to gloat, I wouldn't be wearing a Denver cap.
Hey,
how about them Chiefs?
Oh, gee, many Christmas. I thought you said not to gloat. You know, by the way, Phil's also a Broncos fan. So, you know, unless you want to be thrown out on your arse, you might watch yourself tonight. Well, I think the two of us could take you, even though you get your arm in a sling.
So. That's right.
All right. So let's start with this. This is so on the 6th. So the day after the 312, I mean, the massive sweep. You guys swept. It was a big night both nationally and in the state. Laura Kelly goes to Twitter, and she tweets out, quote, "Congratulations to the newest members of the Kansas legislature." Okay, that's nice. That's nice. She's being nice.
Oh, it gets worse.
And then she says, "I look forward to working with you to deliver what Kansans want most." Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Expanding access to affordable health care.
Medicaid expansion.
Protecting women's reproductive freedom.
Abortion,
right. And lowering the cost of living for all hardworking Kansans. Keeping in mind, she vetoed how many tax bills?
Four tax bills.
So, I mean, talk about... I mean, she spent how much money trying to knock out you guys?
$2.1 million she spent. And what did she get?
Nothing.
She took out Vic Miller, her own guy.
A Democrat, yeah.
A Democrat.
I mean, talk about someone who is out of touch. That's her tweet, is, "I want to work with you on my agenda," and you just won three seats in the House, grew your majority in the House by three and the Senate by two.
So realistically, I mean, you know, of course, everybody says, well, why did we win? There are several reasons, and I can also tell you several reasons why they lost. Why they lost is because they weren't paying attention to what the people wanted.
Exactly. Yes.
So the centerpiece of their whole campaign was protecting women's reproductive rights. That was the centerpiece. And it's settled.
Right. That's not what I was going to say. They've done that. It's
value
done.
Them both was soundly defeated. The courts have settled it.
Whether we like it or not, it's done in Kansas.
What is the most important piece? As you go throughout the state, because we did, we had a ground game that's unbelievable. We had the best ground game we've ever had since I've been there. We knocked over 170,000 doors. And what did everybody want?
Property tax relief. Thank you. Yes.
Property tax relief.
I know. My wife and I, between the two of us, probably knocked, I mean, I don't know, we weren't keeping track, but there were weeks that we were doing 500-600 doors a week.
Absolutely.
Nobody ever brought up freaking abortion.
No.
Nobody.
No.
And we were not doing Republicans. We were doing swing voters, undecideds. It wasn't coming up.
And the problem they had was is the middle of the road pack, the governor's pack. And, oh, by the way, if you stand in the middle of the road long enough, you get run over.
Yeah, exactly.
What they did was they made it really salacious. They went over the top. they were saying things that was just so absurd that the voters, they saw through it. And they say, this is just bunk.
Talking about abortion bans. Yes, and things like, well, you yes. guys.
Well, and rape and all kinds of things. Gosh. I mean, it was horrible, the things that they were putting out. And our folks, what did they do? They stayed on message. Every time that would come up, they would say, that's settled. We want to talk about property tax. We want to talk about inflation, affordability, crime. Those are the things that we talked about, and that really resonated with the voters across the gamut, including Johnson County.
Yeah, I mean, when we were knocking, and in particular, because, you know, my wife and I were helping out with AFP, and they were helping us target some of those districts. Unfortunately, like, Seligman didn't win. A tough race. You know, he was running against Henry Helgerson, an entrenched Democrat. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, again, swing district. We're working on swing voters and undecideds, probably some Democrats. In fact, a number of the doors that we were knocking were lean liberals.
Right.
And even they were talking about property tax reform. Some of them were talking about the transgender issue.
Sure.
They weren't talking about abortion.
Not at all. And even in my district here in Wichita, I actually had a race this time. A guy that ran against me actually went out and worked hard, sent out a lot of lies in his mailers.
Imagine that.
But he was still doing the things that he needed to do to try to win. He did some Facebook. So he really worked. He worked hard, spent quite a bit of money. But he, too, spent all of his time talking about two things, abortion and Medicaid expansion. And what we did, we went to those doors, and consistently we heard the same things, taxes, property taxes, and even Democrat doors. We would even have Democrats. We had Democrats that voted for us. I don't know if they'd ever voted for us before, but they voted for us this time. Because the message that the Democrats were using was just old, worn out stuff. Nobody believed it anymore.
Well, and I think even they realize Medicaid expansion is, first off, it's unaffordable. And the other issue is it's just not a high priority when you can't put food on the table.
That's absolutely right. People rent. Rent's high. You know, houses are unaffordable today. There's a lot of things that are just totally unaffordable. How does a young person coming out of college even afford a house today?
Right. Well, I mean,
yeah, it's impossible because, you know, if you want to live in a nice house, it's going to be $200,000 and up.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. And it's a lot higher than that now. So, yeah, the affordability issue is probably outside of the property tax. The affordability issue was second most. And then, also, something that really was talked about a lot at the doors by people, of course, is the border and the security issue. The fact that, you know, there are people being killed in the United States by the immigrants that are coming, the illegal immigrants that are coming in. I think President-elect Trump is correct. You know, it's like some of these nations just opened up their prisons and said, go to America.
Well, and even in, and I know, by the way, we're talking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. In one of the districts that Marlene and I were knocking in, I remember we talked to an immigrant who had come to the country legally, was a citizen now,
right,
able to vote, took her 12 years, as I recall, to get her citizenship, went through the system, did it legally, and she was talking about how she'd seen buses coming to dropping them off in her neighborhood, and how that frustrated her. And I'm thinking, you know, well, that's Laura Kelly for you, because she's encouraged that with these NGOs, and, you know, that's Donald Trump, or that's Joe Biden and Laura Kelly encouraging that and bringing them into your community.
No, absolutely. It security is a big issue today. Making sure that we're supporting our law enforcement. Our first responders, all of those folks, you know, I think we here are just a little bit better insulated than some of the other states.
Yeah.
The border states certainly have the biggest problem, but we do have some of it. And our immigrants that are here legally absolutely despise, you know, the open borders. And that's something that's changed over time.
Yeah.
You go back a few years ago, they were a lot more protective of that. Now they're saying, hey, this is wrong. They need to come in just like we did. We need to have a good immigration policy. And I hope that with President Trump and both houses of both the Senate and the House, that we'll get good policy put in place and we'll secure the borders.
Do you mind sticking through? I got a break. You mind sticking through the break, and then I want to talk a little bit about what you're going to do with this shiny new supermajority?
I was going to jump into that.
Let me take my break, and then we'll come back. We've got Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins with us. We'll talk about what he plans to do since it sounds like a mandate to me. We'll look at judicial selection, electoral reform, budget changes, administrative changes. What he's going to do with that shiny new supermajority when we get back. You're listening to John Whitmer's show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity. They're a community of millions of concerned citizens just like you. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
Well, now, it is time, maybe past time. Where in the world did the Dems think they could insult the masses and win an election? Okay, the shiny object didn't win. Dems will never stop giving their opinions on false claims and lies. It was a landslide victory per Reagan. Okay, here is reality. President-elect Trump must engage as we know he will. The Honorable Mike Pompeo deserves a front-row seat in the Trump administration. His stint as Secretary of State was our nation's best. He is a real leader. I hope he is willing to serve once again. He will do our country proud. We conservatives have the wheel. We must show our mettle. Leadership is Mike Pompeo. We deserve the best of the best. Secretary Pompeo is just that leader.
And, you know, Dan, we're speaking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. If obviously we've heard now that Trump won't be considering Mike Pompeo for the cabinet. But, you know, Mike Pompeo is now being considered maybe as a gubernatorial candidate. People trying to encourage draft Pompeo.
Certainly, I guarantee you there have been some calls made. I'm not sure that will happen. Who knows? I would love to see it happen. I think it would be a good thing. I think Mike would be great back here in Kansas leading us after he, you know, delivering us out of 8 years of bondage with Kelly. You know, I'm a little bit of just there, but you know, we've got an opportunity here. We've had the supermajority ever since I've been there. Sometimes it's been a real big supermajority, sometimes small. This last 4 years, we've been at just one extra. So it's been pretty slim. When we started this year, this campaign season, I remember saying, you know, the press was all saying, hey, governor's coming after you. And she did. She brought $2.1 million and then another $660,000 from the ACLU against us. We went out there and raised a lot of money ourselves. We did not match her, but we certainly had enough money that we could really work hard. I said back then when they were saying that they were going to take us out, I said, no, I don't think so. I think we will stick to our message. We will do well. We'll have a great ground game. And we will end up having two extra when we come back. Well, it's off. We got three extra. So we're at 88.
The Senate got two extra.
They did. So they'll be at 31. So that is a pretty good advantage for us. The governor will probably be unhinged. I expect the governor to really work hard at vetoing everything that we could possibly want. This time we've got the numbers where we should be able to override most of what we want. There could be some things that maybe we can't override, but for the most part, I think we'll be very successful at the override. Governor hates being overridden, so don't veto so much, Governor.
So what do you think? I mean, if you're a betting man, and if you're say, well, I don't know, Speaker of the House, and you have the ability to control some of the agenda. Oh, wait a minute, you are Speaker of the House. Are we looking at things like finally tackling judicial selection, electoral reform? I know you've already talked about change. You're already going to do the changing the budgetary process. Maybe looking back at that rules and regs constitutional amendment that we tried last year. Is that the kind of stuff?
Yeah. So
fundamental changes.
There are going to be some fundamental changes. The budget's the biggest one, and we're working on it right now. We are taking back the budgeting process. The governor still produce a budget, but we're going to have our own budget, and we'll work from our own budget. And of course, that's kind of got the governor unhinged as well. She doesn't like that. But, you know, I tried to work with her last year, and she refused. She didn't want to work with us on budgeting. So I said, let's do it ourselves. So that's a big thing. Probably one of the first things we do when we get back, I would say absolutely the first thing is we will have a property tax relief bill. She vetoed every single one we had last year.
She's officially said she will veto that.
She has said she will veto any property tax bill we bring. And
why?
Because she's the governor. She, you know, hear me roar. You know?
But, I mean, she has to know the same thing that people want it. Why? What's her reason for vetoing?
Well, I don't think how much does she listen? I mean, if you look at what's happened over the last 2 years, we've overrode her on a lot of things that the people wanted overridden.
Like transgender.
There's a whole long list. And undoubtedly, she doesn't listen to the people of Kansas, because if she did... Because she is the leader of the Democrats, and she set the tone for the Democrats. The Democrats across the state used the same message, and it was the governor's message. And so I believe the people of Kansas spoke against the governor finally and said, you have went too far. And she has. She has went way too far. She talks about us being extreme. I don't believe we're extreme at all. She has the extreme policies. She has those extreme ideas out there, and it's up to us, and it has been, to push back against those. Hopefully, in 2026, we'll have a Republican governor, and then we can get a few more things done.
It is kind of crazy when you think about it. I mean, what's the surplus up to now? $4
billion? Yeah, almost $5
billion. $5 billion in surplus, and she's not willing to do some property tax reform.
No, it's ridiculous. In our
it's not like you need the money, Gov.
Well, and our revenue continues to come in over estimate.
I guess I don't understand why she's out of hand without even seeing the bill. She's saying, I'll veto it. I won't take it.
No, she's going to do that, and we're going to override it. I guarantee you that will be the first override.
Sight unseen. She's
saying it. Yeah. And we'll override it early on in the session. So we will have a veto and override probably by early February.
Well, I will be in Topeka. The John Eck at Eck Insurance is sending the show to Topeka next year. So we'll be broadcasting one Sunday a month from Topeka. I hope I'm there when you do that.
Wow. I'm going to have to tell John Eck, thanks for doing that. I didn't realize he was sponsoring you.
He's sending us to Topeka one Sunday a month. So yeah. I'm hoping I'm there on the nights you do that.
Well, just need to make sure that you're there.
I will do that. I can pick the night.
That's right.
And we're going to be there you go into session on the 13th, 14th, something like that.
13th of January.
I will be there that night. Yep. So we'll be there that Sunday night, and so that way we can be there for the start of session the following Monday. So we'll be broadcasting from the Jason Watkins is a beer wholesalers area. So we'll be down there. We'll broadcast from down there, and I'm looking forward to it. But I'm going to make sure I try and time these so that it's when you guys have something fun going on.
Sure, absolutely. No, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a dynamic year. I think we're going to get a lot done. We've got 21 new freshmen. So we've got to get them brought up to speed just as quick as we can, and we will do that. We work with them very, very well. I think across the board we're going to have really a great group of freshmen, and our body is going to be better than it's ever been. We're not going to have two Republicans that stop us
like you did last time. Yeah, Ty had that problem too. Are you expecting any leadership changes, or do you think both chambers probably have the same leadership team?
So So, well, no, there's always a chance for change. I do think in the House, the assistant majority leader is really the race that everybody's gunning for. You know, Les Mason.
Oh, that's passed away. Love, yeah, my dear friend Les.
Yeah, and so we've got three folks that are running for that. That's the big race.
Do I know them?
Yeah, it's Barb.
Barb Wassinger.
Wassinger, Kyle Hoffman, and Clark Sanders.
Okay, yep, I know all three. Yep. Okay, and then I know in the Senate, there's Larry Alley, who is currently the majority leader. From what I understand, our friend Chase Blasey has announced.
That's
so
right.
There's Chase is my state senator, as a matter of fact. So there's a challenge over there. Well, Dan, I appreciate you. I'm coming up on my top of the hour break. 30 seconds real quick. The majority report. How do they get to it? You got 10 seconds.
Go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas. Kansas is spelled out .com.